the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's Gospel presents us with a situation that we all have likely encountered or experienced or are currently experiencing, and that is dealing with competitive people or dealing with competitive relationships. The disciples of John, they were in a discussion with the Jews about purification. Then they came to John and they said, "Look, the one who you witnessed to, or the one whom you baptized beyond the Jordan, he is now baptizing and all are coming to him." As if they're saying, what? Look at this guy, that you are the one who laid hands on him, and now he's stealing your thunder, he's stealing your crowd, and people are following after him. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to let him do this? So the disciples, in their jealousy for the mission of Saint John the Baptist, they complained to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted to instill in John this sense of competitiveness between the Lord Jesus Christ and himself. Competition is one of the most destructive and toxic relationships that maybe we will encounter in our lives. And it's often a difficult one to deal with, especially if it's somebody who's of close relation. A family member, child, children among each other, brother or sister, wife or husband, parents or in-laws. And those relationships, it becomes very difficult to deal with because we care for those relationships very much, even though there's a sense of competition. Being competitive or having the sense of competition is a trait that's in most of us. In a sense, there's a bit of competition in all of us. And I think most people have it. And I think its roots come from the fall of Adam and Eve. We see Adam and Eve, after they fell in sin, they got into a sense of competition between them about who would be blameless before God. Who would be blameless? Adam said to God, "The woman that you gave me made me do this." Eve said, "The serpent is the one that made me do this." So they were in competition against each other, who would be blameless before God. And they gave themselves these excuses. So what is it that we maybe compete for in our relationships? And if we're married, I'd like for you to think about, as we're speaking, about your marital relationship, and maybe if there's competition in there. If not, think about the relationships you have with your friends, with your family members, and with your parents. What do we compete for? I think some of us compete for attention. We'll compete with one another for somebody else's attention. This you'll hear often in the grade school. People want to be popular, and they will do stuff that is uncharacteristic of their behavior and upbringing simply for the fact to gain attention from others. So they're in competition. If this person does this, I will do something else and do it better. You ever heard, you know, I don't know if they still play that now, they had Truth or Dare. Remember that, you know, game they used to play? It's a horrible game because it only gets worse and worse. But what it is what? I'm competing to get the most attention with my brother. I will dare the next person to do something even more crazy. Sometimes we compete for attention to be noticed by other people. For example, what? A woman might come wearing certain type of makeup, and then somebody sees another woman, says, "Oh, she got attention from this particular individual. Let me put makeup on like this person. Or let me put a certain perfume on so I can get the attention of somebody else." So there is a desire or this competition to gain attention from other people. Maybe we compete for position. This is common again in the workplace. Instead of saying, "I must decrease and he must increase," you say, "They must decrease and I must increase." So we begin to sabotage the work of others, maybe take credit for other people's work, other people's hard work. So we compete against one another in the work environment. Sometimes even among spouses, we compete with each other for position and authority. Whose word will be listened to in this household? So instead of a sense of togetherness, there's a sense of who is going to listen. Of course, there's a competition of money. Who can make the most money? My brother or my cousin or my relative has this kind of house, and I have to compete with him and work double shift so I can get the same thing. My brother, my sister's kids have this and this. I have to do the same for my children. And we get into this competitive trap. Also, we compete for possessions. We compete for possessions. Like I said, houses and maybe cars. And maybe we see, okay, this my friend at school has the latest device, whatever it might be. And I go home and say, Mom, Dad, I need to get this device. Why? It's going to help my life, make it so much better. I'm going to get all A's if I have this device. We make all of these, you know, excuses. Then we start saying, you know, I'll pay for half of it from my allowance and all of this stuff so I can compete and be like the person in my class who has the latest device or gadget. Also, sometimes we compete with each other for favor, for gaining the favor of other people. For example, you might have a husband and a wife who compete with one another to gain the favor of their children. You have one maybe who is the disciplinarian in the house, whether it be the father or the mother. The other one is competing for the kids and using the father or the mother's, whoever's the disciplinarian, use this against them. Your father's very, you know, I know he's very tough. You know, when they come complaining, you can't say your father's bad for disciplining you. You have to say, I know he's difficult. What does this tell the child? That mom agrees with me that dad is difficult. So now what? The mom wants to gain the children. And believe me, when we start to pull the children apart and in this competitive, you know, manner, the people that will suffer the most are the children. Because there'll be no stability in the house. They'll go to mom, and then they don't like what mom says, they'll go to dad. They go to dad, they don't like what dad says, they go to mom. Because they know, they see that mom and dad are in competition with each other. Believe me, our kids are smarter than we might think they are. Also, children might compete for their parents. Children might compete, you know, to gain the attention or the favor of a particular parent. Whether by doing favors for them, whether by telling them terms of endearment, you know, kids can be sometimes manipulative. Some of us might even compete to gain favor with the priest or with the church. They might say, you know, somebody might say to their spouse or their husband, you know, Abuna gives me such and such to do, and he's, you know, muhtamma bayya, he knows who I am, and he wants to give me more things to do. And we might say that even among, you know, our colleagues. So we compete to gain favor from other people. If you notice from all of these things that I mentioned, there's maybe one thing in common. And this is the characteristic of competitiveness, is that there must be a winner and there must be a loser. This is classic. I have to win and somebody else has to lose. We can't both be winners. I have to win and somebody else has to lose. And we'll hear this, you know, as we continue the discussion. We'll speak about 6 points as much as the time will give us today, and then we'll continue next week. We'll speak about some of the symptoms of competitiveness. We'll speak about the cause of competitiveness, or the major cause of competitiveness. We'll speak about biblical examples of competitiveness, self-evaluation, how to determine if I am a competitive person, and then how to deal with competitive people. What are some of the symptoms of a competitive person? I think the first is that the insistence on being right. The insistence on being right. And this doesn't mean across the board, because if I understand, if I'm a doctor and somebody comes and asks me a question in my field, and I insist about it because I'm informed, well-informed, this is a different story. But sometimes, you know, we insist on being right even when we're not informed. What's the difference between the ta'lif, or the just making up stuff, and somebody who insists on being right? All of us, or many of us, we can elif, we can just make up stuff. We can start saying, you know, yes, maybe I'm not an engineer, for example, and I can tell you I think the columns are made of this and this, and there's steel inside of there, and I could maybe make up something, right? But then an engineer says, no, no, Abuni, I have it all wrong, this is how it really works. One thing, okay, I made up something, or I elif something, but then when somebody comes and tells me something who understands, I'm willing to say, oh, okay, I'm mistaken, thanks for enlightening me. Okay, this isn't a competitive person who's able to do this. But the competitive person, even if I don't understand, I'm going to insist that I'm right. That I'm going to tell the engineer, no, no, this is how the structure is. So the competitive person oftentimes insists on being right, even in the midst of ignorance. Also, a competitive person must always win the battle, must always win the battle. And he or she will classify things in terms of battles. For example, like something can be something very insignificant. Washing the dishes, for example. I might be washing the dishes, or I might be, you know, might be my turn to wash the dishes, and then I pull out one of the clean dishes to serve and to eat on, and I find that it's dirty. Then I might turn and tell my wife, you know, last time you did the dishes, they weren't good. They're still dirty. I'll clean it today. So what is he saying? I'm going to do it better. I'm going to win the battle of washing the dishes. And it's something very simple. Like, who cares about winning a battle about winning the dishes? But this is just a personality trait. I have to win the battle, and everything will be turned into a battle. And sometimes the battles can even be imaginary. Like, there's really no battle to begin with, but I'm in my mind, everything is a battle. The other person is not even competing against me. No one's even saying anything, but to me, in my mind, there's a competition going on. And also you'll find in competitive relationships, whether it's with our spouses, our family members, or our friends, there's always constant strife. It's never peaceful, you know, because always a competitive person wants to take, wants to be on top, wants to be superior. And this, you know, many people don't like to be around these types of people. But again, like I said, if they're people that are close to us, we can't help being around them. And we can't, you know, just sever the relationship. If it's somebody that's far and just an acquaintance, it's very easy. We can sever the relationship and say, you know, just stop communicating and, you know, we don't have to be friends anymore. The last symptom, and maybe the most significant, is that peace, happiness, and love are not the priority. Peace, happiness, and love are not the priority. So to the person who is competitive, I have to win the battle even if it costs the peace of the house, my own happiness, and the happiness of my family members, and even if it goes against the virtue of love. The most important thing to them is that I win, not about what is best for my house and for our friendship. So it's not setting the right priority here. So we said some of the symptoms. We said that they insist on being right. They must always win the battle. There is constant strife, and peace, happiness, and love are not priorities. So what are the cause, or what's the major cause of competitiveness? From what I've read, it seems that the psychologists have agreed primarily on there's an insecurity. The person who is typically a competitive person has some kind of insecurity. Insecurity about what? Could be about many different things. It could be maybe about their own identity. Who am I? Where I belong? What am I fitting in my family? How do I fit among my peers? And they don't know exactly where they fit. So they compete with each other to make themselves fit in the position where they think they should be. Also, maybe an insecurity in a person's talents and abilities. I'm insecure in what I'm able to do, and also what I'm not able to do. So there's this constant, you know, competition with others to try to make me, maybe I think that I identify one way, or I'm good at something else, but honestly I'm not. But I try to make myself good at it by competing with other people. So I think the underlying cause is some sense of insecurity. So what are some biblical examples of people that were competitive? I think a really good example comes in Genesis between Cain and Abel. You know, Cain was a person who tilled the ground, and Abel was a person who was a shepherd. He had sheep. Abel went and offered the firstborn or the first fruit of his sacrifice and gave it to God, and God was happy with it and accepted it. Cain offered just a portion of his fruit to God, and God was displeased with him. But how Cain responded shows that he was having a sense of competitiveness between him and his brother. Why? Because when God came and confronted Cain, he said, told him, Cain, if you offer the right offering, I will accept it. But I want you to be cautious, because sin is lying at the door, and its desire is for you. So he gave him here an opportunity to make things right, to go get the best fruit instead of just a piece of the crop, but go get the best and come offer it to me, and I will accept it, just like I accepted your brother's offering. And actually, if he did this, what would happen? It would be a win-win situation, right? Both would win. But in Cain's mind, he was competitive. It's not about both of us winning, but it's about my brother losing and I win. So this, you know, anger built up inside of Cain, and he went and killed his brother. And if you look at it, who should he be angry with? He should be angry with God if he's angry with anybody. What did Cain do? Cain neither talked to him, neither incited him in any way and provoked him to anger. The guy just went and offered his offering, and it was accepted before God, and that's it. So he was innocent. But because of his brother had this competitive eye that was filled and then filled his heart with anger, he went and killed him. Another example is Jacob and Esau. And here we see the competition with the bowl of lentils. So Esau goes out, goes hunting, he's come back, and he's dying of hunger. And then he says, make me something to eat because I'm starving. So Jacob says, no. You're vulnerable. This is my chance to win the battle. I'm not going to give you something voluntarily. You give me the birthright, and I will give you, what, a bowl of lentils. But I think a kind brother, a non-competitive brother, would say, sure, and a bowl of lentils. He didn't ask for a steak, you know, or macarona or nothing. He asked for a bowl of lentils, atz. You know, it's very simple. But because he had his competitive spirit in himself, he said, no, I need to get something in order to give something. How many of us, you know, when our parents ask to do something for them, they say, what am I going to get? You don't have to get anything. You know, you should do it, obey just because I asked you to, because you love me, because you live in our house. When my husband or my wife asks for something, am I looking for something in return? When a friend asks for something, am I looking for something in return? There's a sense of competitiveness. Can you imagine if I was on a football team, or if you were on a football team, and we're playing in a, you know, a championship game, or we're playing in the Super Bowl, right? And you come to your teammate, and you say, can you get me some water? I'm really thirsty. He says, no. I'll give you some water, but give me your playing time. What would we say about that teammate? He's a poor teammate, right? He's a poor teammate because he's competing. I want to be on the field at your expense. Another example is Leah and Rachel. They both entered into competition and childbearing. You know, of course, we know how the story was. Jacob was tricked. He got Leah. Then he ended up marrying Rachel as well. And then they began to get in this competition of bearing children for Jacob. Jacob loved Rachel, but Leah said, you know what? My womb was open. I bore you kids. Now you have to come and love me. So she bore him 4 kids. Then Rachel said, oh, no, that's not going to work. She gave her servant, Bilhah, and said, go into Jacob and bear children on my name. So she went in, bore 2 children for him. Then Leah said, okay, maybe I was done with my children. Take my servant, Zilpah, bear another 2 children. And then Leah bore another 2 children. So there's a constant competition of who's bearing children for Jacob. Also, Joseph and his brothers, there's a competition. The brothers of Joseph, they despised him. They didn't like him. There was a sense of competition. And yes, maybe it was because Joseph said to himself, or said to them, that I had the dream, and you guys were bowing down to me, and the moon and the star, and our parents were bowing down to me. So this provoked them to have this sense of competitiveness between them. But when you look at it, when Joseph went to them in the field, and they said, okay, let's kill him and throw him into the well, actually what happened, he was bringing them food. So he was doing for them a good deed. But because of their competitive hearts, they conspired evil against him, even when he came to do good. So we see how blinding this competitive spirit is. We also see Hannah and Peninnah in 1 Samuel. Hannah was the mother of Samuel. We see that again, that Peninnah was the one who had children, and she, you know, annoyed Hannah for doing it, or she provoked her. The Bible says, and her rival, who was Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So there was a competition. I must win, and this person must lose. Even in the New Testament, among the disciples themselves, there arose this sense of competition. The disciples, they wanted to see who was the greater. It says in Mark chapter 9, when the Lord overheard them, and he asked them, "What is it that I heard you dispute of on the road?" And it says, but they kept silent. Why? For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest? So they were fighting among each other on the road. Which of them would have the greatest position as the disciples of the Lord? To the point where even the mother of John and James, the sons of Zebedee, she came and said, "Have my children sin one on the right side and one on the other." Competition. Who can be the greatest? I have to win, and somebody else has to lose. Also, with St. Paul in the church of Corinth, there was a sense of competition. Yes, they were a divided church, but they were divided what? Because of competition. It says that some of them said, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." So they divided into four groups. Each group thought they were better than the other. The group of Apollos, who was a very eloquent man, they said, "We follow a person who is an excellent speaker, very influential." The group of Cephas, who was St. Peter, said, "We follow an apostle and disciple of the Lord himself. Can't match us." The people of St. Paul said, "We follow Paul, the great apostle, the great evangelist. This is who we follow." And the people of Christ said, "We follow the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross." What's wrong with this group? Yes, they're following Christ, but they're following him in a spirit of competition. That we follow Christ and we are better than you. But this is not the spirit that Christ preached. He preached the gospel of unity. We're all bodies and members in him. He came to reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles together in one. So this spirit of competitiveness even infiltrated into the early church. And it caused a lot of, you know, trouble. God willing, Yanni, we'll stop here today. Next week we'll continue, and we'll speak about evaluating myself and seeing if I'm a competitive person. We'll also speak about, what if I evaluate and find myself that I'm a competitive person? What should I do? And lastly, how do I deal with my neighbor or my friend or my family member who is a competitive person? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.